Hello, this is Kathleen McCoy, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska. We have a very special guest today. We have Melissa Mitchell in the studio with us. She's sitting across from me with a big guitar on her lap, and she's ready to play some songs and tell us about her next great adventure, where she's headed to New York City soon. So I want to invite our listeners to think about calling us up and talking to us about questions they've got for Melissa. You see her on the stage, but you don't always get to see her or ask her questions. Our show right now is going to be broadcast again tonight at 7. You can't call in then. And I'd also like to remind folks to visit our website at alaskapublic.org. We've got some video of Melissa. She had a beautiful website, and so we just cherry-picked some things from there, including the recording of your recent mountain stage.
Cool.
Yeah, really nice. And so please visit our website. And I guess we'll just get started. So the big news for you that everyone is talking about has to do with New York City and Mountain Stage and something called the New Song Music Contest.
It's a very interesting kind of weird name, but yeah,
it's hard to get it all out.
It's the Mountain Stage New Song Contest, and I found out about it because I was asked to play on Mountain Stage and then went to their website I've been to their website several times, but went to just check it out because they had our names listed, and I was so excited to see my name on the website. And then I saw a little blurb for this contest that was, open, and so I just submitted, and it rolled out from there.
Now, how did your name get on their website? Did you apply?
No. I think, actually, that Lori Neufeld from KUAC up in Fairbanks was a big proponent for me to be on the show. And I actually think I kind of just probably slid in there last minute. I don't know how it worked because when Lori announced that they were coming, a few months prior, I went to their website and I looked at the submission process, and I was really daunted by it. At that point, I didn't have anybody helping me with any of the paperwork and stuff, and I was working a bunch and just was like, oh my God, because you send your stuff out into the ether. And unless you have somebody representing you or somebody you know there, oftentimes it just gets put in a pile, with other unknown stuff, So I kind of felt, a little disheartened by that, And so about 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks before the show was, ready to be taped, I got an email saying, Melissa Mitchell on Mountain Stage, ? And I had actually just woken up from a nap, and I was like, what? This is crazy. Is this real?
Am I dreaming?
What? Somebody tricking me? And so I think that, at least Larry Gross said that Lori had kind of sent my stuff on his way. And
very cool.
He went to the website, their website, and watched the video that you posted on your page as well. And then went to my website and listened to some songs, and he picked me personally to be on the show.
So. Oh, that's awesome. Melissa, I have to tell you that I invited people to call you, and then didn't tell them.
Oh, didn't tell them the number. That's all right.
So let me put it out there for our listeners. give us a call at 550-8433, or if you're outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we can even take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Anyway, back to your story. You looked so relaxed. We've got the audio tape of your Mountain Stage performance. You were up there for about 25 minutes or so.
I did four songs, and they ended up cutting one off the beginning, just time wise they do that. They cut a bunch of stuff, but it was so cool.
Yeah. It was
I opened the show,
Yeah.
It was really wild.
Like a headliner. It was awesome. So, yeah, and actually, just from the perspective of being somebody listening, you sounded so relaxed and so comfortable and so like you belonged right there.
Yeah, well, I was just absolutely in awe of the whole process.
Yeah.
I've opened for a lot of people, and I've been, I've done a lot of shows and been in bigger productions and stuff, but the people at Mountain Stage were so incredibly stellar. Like, their crew and the musicians, Larry himself, everybody was just top notch and made everybody feel so comfortable and happy. There was no stress. And
that must have been,
it was just so enjoyable.
You sounded so comfortable.
And I had sent some music off to the band, and Ron Sowell, the band leader, had taken notes on the songs and taught them to the band in their own time. I didn't realize
they get ready like that.
Well, That well, I thought they did, but I didn't realize they didn't get paid to do that. Like, they do that on their own time as part of their kind of process being on the show. And it, I mean, it's just such a family. Yeah. It was really amazing. I mean, we all hung out afterwards and talked about that. And, you know, like, some of the band members live in an intentional community in West Virginia. You know, just kind of really interesting people. And so that really, like, shined through for me because we were, you know, of the same breed, I think, you know.
You found your people.
I did. It was cool. And, you know, and I just think, too, that the show was just filled with my friends and you know, other great bands that, you know, just totally blew my mind. So it was fun.
Now, before the show started, we talked about, Melissa, you know, would you mind singing a few songs? She said, sure. And we were doing some mic checks and she was playing. And suddenly she said, I have to warm up my voice. And so I wish you could have heard what I got to hear.
No,
it was like lots of probably lip loosening, I think,
yep.
even lip
trills,
loosening
yep.
and trills
yep.
and ups and downs and all over. I don't know. Would you like to warm us up with a little something?
Sure.
All right. So if you've just joined us, this is Melissa Mitchell, bound for New York City, but here with us at KSK for a little bit before she heads out. And so she's putting her capo on.
Mm-hmm.
There you hear her guitar.
The flow has changed direction, and with it my perception of this radical connection for which I no longer yearn. As I tear off this disguise that was meant only for your eyes, I find much to my own surprise all that I have learned. Well, all my friends, they know I'm crazy, but they don't hold that against me, for they know they cannot fence me, cause I must be free to fly. And though my soul has all the answers, I still must ask the questions. What good are my intentions if I never even try? I never even try. So I stare into the mirror now. From this I will not turn, I'll strike the match. Whoa, and watch myself burn. So in these moments of frustration, when my heart can't feel the music, I must turn around and use it to see shadows deep inside. Cause underneath the surface, they are making their advances, but they're running out of chances, and there's nowhere left to hide. Nowhere left to hide. So as this feeling grows inside, it I must return, I'll strike the match. Whoa, and watch myself burn. Watch myself burn, yeah. And sometimes I try to deny myself, but that always hurts. And sometimes I think it better to just hide myself away from the world. And sometimes I try to define myself, but that never works. As I rise up from the ashes of my self-emancipation, I feel great appreciation for the peace that I have found. And I know that in those moments when I'm losing my direction, I can turn to my reflection and simply burn it down. Down, 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 down. Whoa, burn it down. Down, 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 down. Now, from this I will not turn, I'll strike the match.
Definitely warmed us up.
Oh, thanks.
You know, that's a great song to bring me to another question, which is, where do the songs come from? You know, do you work out your life in the songs, or do you work out life and then sing about it? How does it happen?
Well, I think it happens all different kinds of ways. A lot of times I feel like I'm working things out in the song, and then it ends up being like more prophetic than I could have ever thought it would be, you know? I see the songs sort of play themselves out later sometimes, even though in the moment they're, you know, helping me kind of move through situations. Some songs come totally out of nowhere. I have no idea what's going on. And then later on they make sense. You know, it's just, it's always an interesting process.
Yeah. Now, Burn, what's that song about? It sounds kind of angry. It sounds kind of frustrated.
Definitely frustrated. I mean, it came at a time in my life where it was shifting gears, you know, sort of, and wanting to definitely bust out of the confines that I had sort of created in that time in my life. And, you know, so it was sort of burning down the illusion of this whatever life you've created, you know, and that we have the ability to look at it a little bit deeper and do that. You know, we can, you know, like the phoenix rising from the ash, like become something else in any moment we want to, you know. And so that was kind of what that was about, was me letting go of these kind of ideas that I had.
Prescriptions for the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. I know that you told me that when you leave here, you've got a couple more singing gigs tonight.
Right.
And you're going to go pick up your daughter. So I wanted just to, you know, tell us a little bit about your family life and your family. Yeah.
Well, I have a wonderful family. My daughter's 13. She just turned 13 in September. And most people are like, oh my God, you have a 13-year-old. And I just think she's so cool. Like, I just love her.
And is she musical?
Yeah, she is. And, you know, I've kind of, like, pushed her to play piano a little bit and, you know, just really exposed her. I mean, she could not be exposed in this life.
Not in your family. Yeah,
not in this life. But so she's really great. And then, you know, my partner is so supportive. And, you know, he's kind of the one that's holding down the fort right now so that I can sort of go be the flittering
singer-songwriter,
flittering artist that I want to be. And then my parents just recently left, but they're heading down to Nashville for the winter. And my stepdad is an amazing guitar player and songwriter in his own right. And my mom is sort of his support system there. So, you know, it's just a great family.
Yeah. So I read in your bio that you were born in Anchorage, but grew up in Casilla without many of the amenities that people feel are absolutely essential.
Yeah.
How'd that go down with you?
Oh, well, my parents were, you know, sort of self-proclaimed hippie party animals, kind of. And I think, you know, part of the idea was to move into the woods so that they could do whatever they wanted and no one would know.
They wouldn't be bothering anyone.
They wouldn't be questioned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, we moved to Casilla when I was about 6 and, you know, just, I mean, we didn't have running water. We lived in a trailer, you know, on 2 acres of land, and lived in a really cool neighborhood with a family that my dad had come to Alaska with originally. And, you know, so I don't know. It was just, you know, I didn't have running water till I was in junior high. And
to your daughter's
age. I remember they called
right
us
now.
And they flushed the toilet over the phone, you know, and it was just like this big, exciting thing. And when we first moved, we didn't have electricity either. And so, we had a generator, and, you know, my dad was a huge football fan. And so the big thing was to pump up the generator, and we got to watch football, you know, which was awesome. But so
did you not leave Casilla till you were like 18?
Yeah, I didn't leave until right after I graduated, pretty much. I started playing music right out of high school. I mean, I sang all through high school, but my boyfriend at about age 18 taught me how to play like 3 chords, and I just started writing and hooked up with this really fun band, Stop, Drop, and Roll, which was, you know, kind of a rock band, you know, a bunch of kind of older guys from my community that I had grown up listening to. And one of them was actually an old teacher of mine. And they brought me to Girdwood to play a show at Max's at the time. And, you know, we played the show with the band, me and my boyfriend. And, you know, we were doing a lot of cover tunes, you know.
Sure.
And so I did a couple of my own tunes. And the owner of the bar after the show asked me if, you know, we wanted to stay and just play in the bar and just play a couple tunes. And so we did. And I kind of never left.
Wow.
I actually just kind of kept going back, and I kind of lived at the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was, you know, getting ready for this interview, and I was going through like clips, you know, read, and you're like performing everywhere. That's mostly what I couldn't find a good bio of you, really. I couldn't find a little profile of you. So this is, we're introducing you to Alaska in a way you haven't been introduced before. But boy, you play everywhere. Right now you're at Taproot a lot. In fact, you're at Taproot on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Friday night with Spiff and Aaron Benolkin and Tony Restivo. Yeah.
But if you're just tuning in, I want you to know that that beautiful voice you just heard is Melissa Mitchell, who is bound for New York City on October 20th.
Ow.
Yeah. And if you're lucky, you can get in and see her on Friday night at Taproot. You might hear her on the radio later today at KNBA.
KNBA, yeah. I'm going to help with their fundraising drive.
Yeah. So you're going to hear her, but, you know, your chance to ask her questions and to find out more about her, or more about how you get started in a music career, or, you know, what comes first, the words or the notes, or, you know, this is a good time to call. You can call us at 550-8433 or 1-888-1-888-3-8
mm-hmm.
Okay. 353-5752, or send us an email at hometownalaskapublic.org. You know, one of the things, Dan Byrne was just in town.
I know.
And I went over to out north and heard him.
Awesome.
And I actually got to hear him in a class over at UAA. There's a class on Bob Dylan being taught over there by Mike McCormick.
Wow.
So I sat in on part of that. And I liked it so much that I just had to go over to out north.
Yeah.
So I heard, or I read somewhere, that you took a class with him. Several of our more experienced songwriters.
I wanted to. I was signed up for it. So I've been a fan of Dan Byrne for 10 years, you know, and I found out he was coming, and I instantly signed up for at least the first 2 days, but I ended up having to work and, you know, on call or whatever. So it didn't work
out.
You
never got to do
it. I never got to go. I never got to see him, but he used my guitar stand the whole time.
Oh, well.
And so I did get that back. One of my buddies that plays guitar with me a lot went to the third night of the songwriter workshop, and he said it was just so much fun. And I mean, Dan's just so ridiculously prolific. And
he's amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, he turns around, he's got another song.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy.
So,
I want to be like that.
Well, you know, I talked to people about you in town, and one of the things people said about you, these are promoters.
Yeah.
They said,
oh, yeah.
You are one of the hardest working performers they know, that you are steady. You know, a lot of people are really excited for the first album they can get out, and they work real hard, but they get that one out, and then it gets a little old or a little less exciting, or they drift away, but that you have not drifted. Do you think that's a good description of you?
Yeah. You know, I think one of my friends just said, called me tenacious. I took it as a compliment. You know, my mom, that's one of her biggest compliments to me, is like, you know, I just never give up. And I think it's not necessarily even because I don't want to. You know, we talked about that earlier.
We did. We touched on
You know, that. Getting tired, or, you know, just kind of
weary.
Over it.
Yeah.
But it really is like, I believe the thing, one of the big things that I came to this planet to do, you know, is make music. And so.
You're not going to deny that.
Yeah. And when I try to, it's really bad, you know, like really bad.
You had that was a line in your story, when I deny myself.
Yeah.
it's not good.
It's not cool. So I've learned my lesson.
I enjoyed you just, I saw this great video from, I think it was KUAC up in Fairbanks, where you're going to perform Rooted Down, which is a very, very nice song. And you introduced the song with your feelings of ambivalence about Alaska. And I think that's a great topic. Many of us here have those, you know, we love it, we don't want to leave, but sometimes we want to run outside and get some sun or something. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about your ambivalence, and then maybe sing that song for us if that works.
Yeah.
I know you had percussion and other things with you in that recording.
Yeah,
but
it's all good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anybody that, you know, is born and raised here can have those moments of, you know, again, just weariness for the place. And me not being a huge winter sports, you know, athlete or anything.
All
you know.
Those years in Kasilov, never really.
Yeah. Yeah. The ski hill there was really epic. Sledding was huge. But yeah, I think, you know, because my life is so kind of musically focused, that, you know, the long winter, you know, it just really kind of gets to me. And
not a most creative period for you. Huh?
Well, it is actually, it's hugely creative, but it's also can be a really like dark time symbolically for me. You know, mm-hmm. I think I'm just naturally, I'm a, you know, kind of a emotional Pisces anyway, and mm-hmm. with a propensity for depression, probably, you know, like any artist. And, you know, so I think like last winter was really, really difficult for me. And I saw people that, you know, last winter was the best winter of their lives, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's totally great. But for me, I would have much rather been on a beach.
Or somewhere.
You know, I'm a water baby, you know, like I love the water. And so I miss those things here, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I also love it here more than any other place on the planet. And, you know, I did leave in 2005, I think, and went down to Grass Valley, California, and hung out with my friend Sherry down there and started my work at Folsom. And I had a little job waiting tables at this Chilean restaurant. People would come in and ask me where I was from, and I would say Alaska, and then I would go on and on about how amazing it was, and people would just get so excited. And then finally somebody was like, why did you leave? And I thought, oh, you know what, you're right, like that's kind of weird, you know, why did I leave? I mean, there was all sorts of interpersonal reasons why I left, but I mean the place itself is so powerful and holds so much soul for me, and I know for so many others.
Sometimes you have to leave a place to
appreciate it. And also, I think it's just, it's a natural ebb and flow of like, we need to get out and do things. You know, we need to get out and explore. You know, we can't just
change,
stay
the
in our box. Yeah.
Get some new landscape.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, you're back now. I think you talked about you're living in an apartment, so you wanted the woods, so you got a garden.
Yes. So we had lived in this little downstairs, you know, basement apartment for, oh God, I think we were there for almost 4 or 5 years. And it was just really like all I could do not to just
crawl the walls.
Yeah. I mean, I did crawl the walls, I think. But yeah, so I finally was like, okay, forget it. I mean, we had little to no sun in my backyard. It was, you know, just really terrible. But I went and bought the little box planter, you know, thing. And I had a great garden, and I was just so excited about it. And it was actually the summer, too, that I lost my voice, you know. And so I was really just focused on it. You know, I was able to put a lot of energy into it. And
into the garden.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't sing.
Yeah. And I was just outside doing stuff, you know, that where normally I would be doing this kind of stuff or playing my guitar or whatever. You know, I was outside and, you know, hiking all the time, and it was just really great. And
That raises all kinds of questions about balance and how do we work out let's chew on that but go ahead and let's hear Rooted Down. That's really a very nice song.
Right, thanks. Sun climbs a little higher over the mountains every day. And it's funny, but just that little bit of sun lifts my heart in the most wonderful way. It gives me faith that I won't be consumed by the darkness of these long winter nights. Gives me faith that even when I don't, the earth knows that everything, yes, everything is gonna be alright. So I'm rooting down, yes, I'm rooting down into my home ground. Beautiful bird songs out my window, and I wonder how they live in this cold. You see, I've been here my whole life, and I have to wonder if this is where I'm gonna grow old. I guess I always thought I'd have to move somewhere far away, sunny and warm, to find my bliss. But you know, I've been a lot of places, baby, and I ain't never seen anything more wonderful, more magical than this. So I'm rooting down, yes, I'm rooting down, yes, I'm rooting down, yes, I'm rooting down. Impossible.
all to take. My desire to run exceeds my strength to stay. I plant my feet on this sacred ground and say, I know I'm home. I know I'm home.
Some resolution there, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
A lot.
Yeah. You worked it out.
Mm-hmm. Seemingly so. And and since then we've moved into a new house, and new to us at least. And
it has more sun.
A ton more sun. Like I said, I opened the windows this morning and it was just beaming in and warm in the house. And planted a garden in the front yard this year. And it was...
Things are possible. Things can change. Things can get better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were talking just a little bit about balance, and I don't have any answers, but I wonder if there's something about ambition versus just lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, do you think of, you told me you haven't been to New York City. You're going to go to New York City and sing. So it's not as if New York City was your, I got to get there, but you have enough drive to pick up your guitar every day, to play every day. Mm-hmm. Do you ever say no to your guitar?
Yes. Yes, I do. I mean, there'll definitely be stretches of weeks that I don't even pick it up.
You're kidding.
No, not at all. And I mean, I think, you know, I know just from, you know, knowing a lot of other songwriters that we go through months and months without any inspiration at all. And it's terrifying every single time. You know, you just think, oh my God, I'm dried up. I'm never going to write again. And then something changes, you know, and as of late, I have been, I wouldn't say forcing myself, but been very, you know, been very like disciplined about playing more. And it's interesting because I had a song come out of that process, which is not very normal for me. And I think that's kind of also typical of a lot of songwriters that, you know, the kind of the stream of consciousness, the songs just come in. You know, we don't sit down and necessarily the
sit
dog has fleas, they came for me, you know, kind of thing or whatever. You know, we don't write like that. It's more of like that flash of inspiration. And so, you know, it's hard sometimes to want to pick up your guitar if you're not feeling inspired. But then sometimes the flip side happens, you know, and you get inspired while you're
I've heard so many writers talk about that discipline aspect, like you just have to sit down and write, even if you write very badly for a while. It's almost like you just are setting the stage or something. So that's not really the way you've traditionally worked.
No, and I think, you know, a lot of it, like, you know, you're saying too, it's like I play out all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was part of me trying to find the balance, you know, was if you're out playing, you know, and there's all the prep that goes into before a show and, you know, all of the, you know, especially if you're self-promoting, you got to do all that. And so this writing sometimes gets shoved aside because there's this whole other business aspect that as an artist is incredibly hard to live in both worlds. Yeah. So actually, you know, like what I found was when I stopped playing as much and I stopped playing all the gigs that were offered to me and, you know, kind of just taking whatever was out there. I got way better gigs. I had more time. I felt more inspired. I was more appreciated by my audience or people, you know, in the greater, you know.
That sounds like wisdom to me right there.
Yeah, well, and it blew my mind kind of, you know, because they had the whole press picks thing. And I've never, you know, voted or really, you know,
paid much
attention to it. But it was a few years ago that I, you know, either won it or got in the top three or something. And I was just like so blown away because I hadn't really played that much. Mm-hmm. And like the year prior, I had spent like 5 days a week playing, it seemed like, you know?
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, maybe I just need to back off,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And be a little less familiar.
And it's hard. Well, you know, it's hard to think that way because you think as a musician, like, oh, I need to play every night, you know, the gigs pay $100 or whatever, you know, so I got to play 5 nights a week to make my dough. And, you know, the reality is, like, once I pulled back, I actually got better paying gigs. And,
oh my.
You know, it was just kind of a weird, yeah, you know, like we said, the universe
paradigm
responds.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. That's I hope we've got some, you know, singer-songwriters listening to you trying to figure out how to do some of this. And you've got some experience. And even though you wouldn't, say, call yourself wise, you know, you've given us a couple of really good pieces here. So if you've just joined us, you're listening to Melissa Mitchell. And we'll be back in the second half hour with some more music and some more conversation. And we welcome your questions. This is Kathleen McCoy, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
You're back listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and sitting in the studio with me with a big guitar on her lap is Melissa Mitchell. She's headed to New York City on October 20th. Never been to New York City before. She's going to sing there at the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. And this is part of the Mountain Stage New Song Music Competition. Mm-hmm. And you were a Western Regional winner?
I was a Western regional finalist.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we had five regions in the United States and then an international region. And it's actually really hysterical because we did, again, you know, I was talking about like inundating people with, you know, vote for this or come to my show or whatever, you know, and sometimes I just feel like I'm exhausting people. And so I was real kind of careful, but how it ended up was I thought that there was a regional winner for each, I mean, a People's Choice winner for each region. And so when they announced my name, I was really excited, you know, but then they put my thing up on the website and I thought, oh, that's really cool. But then they didn't announce anybody else. And I thought,
who's the Eastern region?
Did I just annoy them so much that they just had to put my name up first or whatever? And then we went to dinner to celebrate and we were at the Roadhouse having some champagne and my buddy Spiff was like, no, sweetie, you won the whole thing. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like crying at the table. And I mean, so out of like over 10,000 votes, I got the most votes of everybody. And so it was just really so amazing. I have to say thank
people,
you.
Were they voting after listening to you perform on Mountain
well,
Stage?
Well, no, it's like we had to upload a video and then everybody, you know, each region had 10 finalists, so 10 videos. And, I mean, you know, we were definitely encouraging people to go and listen to everybody and vote, you know, honestly.
Vote for me.
But, I mean, you know, ultimately I wanted to win the thing, so whatever. And, you know, so I'm sure people did go on and just click, I like Melissa, whatever, vote for her. But I know a lot of people did spend time. And, I mean, it was not easy. I mean, there was some really great music, at least in my region for sure. I mean, one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Justin Farron, was in the same category as me.
Oh.
And, you know, so it was kind of, you know, it was just one of those like, ooh, I love you, but I still want to win, you know. But, yeah, I mean, just great music.
Yeah.
Really cool to
yeah.
be exposed to all that, you know, going through the different regions.
So you're like People's Choice National Champion.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know, man. It was so cool. I really couldn't wrap my head around it, you know.
Yeah. And that only happened, like, at the end of September, right?
Yeah.
That's when they announced
yeah.
it. Yeah. So,
yeah.
like, it's been kind of fast.
It's so fast.
Now up comes New York City.
Yeah.
So, well, I want to throw our phone numbers out there.
Sure.
And we'll do some more music
sure.
and we'll do some more talking.
Yeah.
If you've got questions for Melissa Mitchell, and surely you've got questions about where do your songs come from and how do you take care of your voice and what do you do when you hate a song?
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call at 550-8433. Or if you're outside Anchorage, you can call. And there might be some Kosilov people that remember you or some Fairbanks
man.
People that
yeah.
1-888 888-353-5752, or we can also take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We're going to do another song, but I wanted to ask you a question. I was looking at your website, and by the way, you do a great job on your publicity, and you speak to the time and energy it takes, but, you know, I went to your Facebook page today, and I saw that it was kind of, well, at least seemed to be reorganized with lots of new, you know, songs mm-hmm. that you could listen to, and then went over to the Reverb Nation, and there's a bunch of new songs to listen, and it's like, you did all that, you know.
This morning.
last night I was getting ready for the show, and I was, you know, going on your Facebook saying, "Hey, I'm excited," and mm-hmm. you were doing it, and Cindy was doing it. It's like, you know, but you're doing it all the time. You know, I did it once, so that's. But anyway, here's my question. I saw on your bio page that. On Reverb Nation, that you're compared to Bonnie Raitt and you're compared to Adele, and it's someone I wasn't really that aware of, Susan Tedeschi.
Tedeschi.
I gotta go listen to her.
So you do.
My thought was, well, okay, those. It's great to be compared, mm-hmm. but then do you sometimes feel like you don't want to be compared to? You want to be Melissa Mitchell?
I mean, I don't think that I'm anywhere near like the, in the public eye enough to worry about. Comparisons, you mm-hmm. know, I think comparisons at this stage in the game for me, though I've been playing for 100 mm-hmm. years, it seems like to me, mm-hmm. You know, I'm totally unknown to the world at large, you know, mm-hmm. so those comparisons help, you know, and that's kind of what Reverb does, you know, they try to give you little links so that people that like that kind of thing
Wait,
can find you,
you
know, yeah, it's just another way to network, but yeah, I mean, I hope that I stand out enough to someday, you know, have my name kind of be mm-hmm. something of its own thing, but I don't mind being compared to Susan Tedeschi.
I'm sure you don't, but I mean, it would be probably thrilling to say about a new young songwriter. She sounds a lot like Melissa Mitchell.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I think, it's definitely, it's interesting to, you know, even through this contest, like hearing new songwriters, because your mind almost instantly goes to, oh, they sound like. You know, at least for me, and I think it's natural.
It's a way of knowing, probably.
Yeah, and well, and it's a way that your brain just works, you know, mm-hmm. because if you don't know somebody, you know, already, then you're
a category.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, unfortunately, with a lot of, you know, maybe more pop singers and stuff, though, you know, everybody's kind of trying to sound like something, mm-hmm. you know, and so I think, you know, it's a little bit harder to be original anymore. You know, there's just so much out there.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, I mean, I hope that
can people be discovered from Alaska? They certainly probably can.
God, I don't know. You know, I hope so.
You're planning on it.
I don't think they can be discovered from here, which is the unfortunate part. You know, because it's so dang expensive to get out of here. But actually, you know, I had gone down and actually tried out for The Voice in early August. And there was another guy from Alaska that got on that show. Hmm. I think he already got kicked off. But either way, you know, that's huge exposure, you know. So even though, you know, those shows are kind of weird or whatever, any chance you can get out there is great. I mean, mm-hmm. Alaska's unfortunately had its name marred a few times in different ways.
We won't talk about that.
But, you know, so, you know, where we might have. I don't know. We're still original. We're still in our own category. And I mm-hmm. think we're still waiting for that one thing to come out of here. I mean, Jewel's great. And, mm-hmm. you know, but she's kind of out of the scene almost even now.
And kind of came and went.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she's just doing her own thing. But I think, you know, we're still waiting for like that one kind of hit for us, you know. And it doesn't have to be me, but it'd be cool if it was.
It'd be fine with you if it was you. You know, I watched the Anchorage Music Co-op, which is relatively mm-hmm. new. And when I was going back to the clips, I saw that you were one of their first showcase artists. And I know Laura Oden, and probably there's other people that have been kind of nurturing that along. Mm-hmm. I wondered if that might be an invitation to talk a little bit about the local music scene and, mm-hmm. and you know, why something like the Anchorage Music Co-op was needed. I know the hours, probably, just being able to play not in a bar late at night, mm-hmm. you know. But what do you think about it? It's about a year old now, right?
Yeah, it's about a year old, and I think it's great. I mean, I think that what we struggle with, a lot of, you know, us acoustic singer-songwriters struggle with the bar scene because, you know, people are there to drink, not necessarily listen to music. So if we're not a full rockin' band, you know, then we're not really grabbing their attention a lot of times. And that can be really, I wouldn't say devastating, but it can be hard as an artist to continue to play gigs like that where you're just really not appreciated. It's a testament to your fortitude, you know, if you can continue to do it. And the venue itself is, you know, it's set up like that. It's a quiet theater space, really lends itself to people coming specifically for music. And it's opened up to quite a few, you know, I don't know, genres. I mean, it seems like that, you know, they're running sort of a, you know, singer-songwriter showcase, but still, I think it would be open to a lot of different styles of music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I think it's a great thing. I'm super proud of them.
Yeah, you know, it seems like a nice thing. You know, you sometimes hear about a place having a regional writing or a regional sound, and maybe with these kinds of things happening, we might be moving into something like that.
That'd be great. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that we do have a really great musical community here, and you know, if we just keep continuing to foster that and keep coming together, you know, it's not about us all being the same or, you know, whatever. But I've just for years always thought of, like, if we played shows together, you know, if three or four of us got together and played a show together, we're cross-pollinating our fan base. We're, you know, collaborating with each other, which is huge for inspiration. And so it's nice to see that it's finally happening. You know?
Yeah.
And it's actually happening a lot, not just through them, but you know, I know a couple of the radio stations have been hosting, you know, song contests and things like that, which are really bringing a lot of songwriters together. And I was just at one last Thursday at the Fancy Moose, you know, and it was just, I looked around the room and I was like, oh my God, this is like a who's who of musicians. And we never get to be in the same room together.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like we're always playing shows on the same night. And so it was just a really cool night. I just smiled the whole night, just
little
looking around.
Cross-pollination potential.
Yeah, it was great.
There. Yeah, yeah. You've also, you said you go up to Fairbanks quite a bit, and you play around the state. I want to know what your favorite kind of gig is, because I've certainly, did you open for Katie Lang?
I did.
That's where I last saw you.
Yeah.
And I sort of wondered, well, what's that like?
Oh,
you know,
like magic.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, that was the second time I played in the Atwood, because I opened for Jewel when she was here too. And that room is unbelievable for sound. Like, it just is so
far cry from the bar.
So, yeah, so that's really cool. And then just to be exposed to that audience is great, because what I realized, like, when I went to Fairbanks, you know, we played the mountain stage at the theater there at the college. And so a lot of people came out that I guess obviously didn't know me, which, you know, still, it's like, I think I'm,
doesn't,
you know,
everyone know me?
I think
by
I'm
now?
Overexposing myself, you know, but
they're,
you know, a lot of people were like, oh, you should come back to Fairbanks more, or you know, play. And I'm like, I do. But the reality is, I always go up there. I've played UAA a couple times. I've played like the local radio festival there. But I usually play the Marlin, which is a little basement dive bar. And I love it. It's such a fun place to play. But the crowd is the crowd, you know, and it's always packed and it's always fun. And we're always up until 4 a.m. And then I just walk across the street to my friend's house. And, you know, that's that.
Crash.
But so, you know, I don't expose myself as much to that other crowd of people, you know, that maybe don't go out on Friday and Saturday night, but would rather go out on a Thursday night and see some quality music. And so
go to a different venue.
Yeah. So it was cool, because a lot of people invited me to do house concerts and different things that I would love to do. But again, the networking aspect is incredibly difficult for one person to do, you know. So so those kind of opportunities come out of those kinds of shows, which I think are above and beyond even sometimes the experience of the show, you know, because I've opened for a lot of people. It was funny. My friend who's trying to get me a gig in New York asked me to send her a list of people I've opened for. And I just started rattling them off. And I thought, oh, my God, this is kind of ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's super
Who
cool.
Who haven't I opened for?
Well, and then I kept coming. I'm like, oh, I forgot Greg Brown. Oh, yeah. And then I forgot, blah, 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 you know, and just kept coming up with them. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's an element of, you know, like when we talked about being weary or whatever, you know, there's an element of like being super proud that I get opportunities like that and super grateful. And there's the other part of me that's like, I don't want to be that big fish in the little pond thing, you know. I don't know what that is. You know, I think anybody probably would feel that way. It's like you don't want to be just the go-to girl because you're the go-to girl. You know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that experience, I'm just like, every time I'm so grateful. And I mean,
yes.
I
you
just
don't
want to
sound
from,
ungrateful, but
no.
On the other hand, you're thinking, why do I always do this?
Yeah.
You know, maybe
I want to be the headliner.
That's exactly. Who's opening for me?
Who's opening for me? And and it's just, you know, it's as a, I mean, as the local girl, you know, like that's not really what I'm doing. You know, I'm mostly just sort of like staying on this one playing field. And so I feel like this might be an opportunity for me to kind of step it up for myself and, mm-hmm. and for the community, you know, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. really
it's
getting
out
there.
It's great to get another name out there from Alaska.
Yeah.
Besides some of the recent ones.
It'd
be
yeah.
kind of fun to have
people yeah.
saying, Melissa Mitchell, she's from Alaska.
Right.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Folsom Prison
yeah.
Project because I found that on your site. And I also saw a song that you, I think it was called Thank You, mm-hmm. that was on your site, but also was one of the Mountain Stage pieces. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you can drop into that like that or
oh,
if
sure.
there's something else you'd like to do, but no. maybe play us a song and then tell us a little bit about that project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, this song, it was actually really cool because I had sent it to the Mountain Stage band and they had talked about, you know, wanting to play it. And then I got a little self-conscious about it and wasn't really sure if they'd like it. And they end up really liking it. And the drummer put this really cool beat behind it that I never would have thought of. And mm. so it just made it really fun.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, I remember how it felt that day. Came in with our hearts ablazing, and no armor could withstand the light. It was amazing. We gave everything we had to you. We left it there with no conditions. We let our voices be the vehicle, and you listen. You listened, and I want to thank you for opening your heart and looking me in the eye even when I cried. This life's not perfect, but it's a start. Appetite for honesty and a radar for the realness. We found each other in the darkest night and it healed us. It healed us. And from your tired hands came sparks of light, and your words were filled with wisdom. And we danced away the walls inside, and we felt freedom, true freedom. And I want to thank you for opening my heart and for staying strong when you've been down so low. This life's not perfect, but hey, I just want to thank you. Showing me the way and giving me your heart to keep when we're apart. This life's not perfect, no. This life's not perfect, but I think I'll stay. I think I'll stay. Time I cried. This life's not perfect, no. This life's not perfect, no. This life's not perfect, but it's a start. It's a start.
Again, kind of a positive resolution.
Yeah.
Kind of going forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Melissa plays here, she closes her eyes and and she's not here. I mean, yeah. I don't know where you are,
yeah.
but you're not here. You go into music land somewhere.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about, you know, when you're a performer and you're putting your material out and you're promoting yourself. Who do you go to for advice? Who do you go to for a critique?
My really good friend Michelle is one that I go to, Michelle McAfee, and she's actually part of the label that we're on and part of One Soul that goes into Folsom, and she's also going to be playing with me at the Lincoln Center. And yeah, I just totally trust her as a songwriter to give an objective opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, there's quite a few of us that pass songs around. And my friend Meg just sent me a song this morning of hers and sent her my thoughts. And, you know, we kind of do that for each other. Spiff is another one. And, you know, I mean, a lot of times I know from my own perspective, and I think a lot of others, we don't necessarily share things until we feel they're pretty much complete. You know, maybe we'll be like, oh, I got a song that, you know, but it's not often that you end up co-writing really songs. So yeah, I mean, I have
it's
a few people,
to get feedback.
Yeah, I have a few people I trust enough to,
So I we started that song saying we were going to talk about the Folsom project.
Yeah.
So, and it sounds like, your friend, what was her name?
Michelle McAfee. Yeah.
She pulled you into the Folsom thing. Tell us that story.
No, I actually, I was down in California, and it was actually Thanksgiving 2005 or 2004 or 2005. I had been going into Folsom. I'd been in there a couple times just to play music. And my friend Sherry Snook, who works for KVMR, invited me in. And she had been playing my music on the radio, and it had been getting piped into the prison. And so a lot of the guys already knew my stuff. So my boyfriend and I went down to go see the Bridge School benefit, go see Neil Young play, you know, and I was like, oh, well, let's go up to this thing and I'm going to go check out Folsom. And so he actually went in with me the first time I went in, and it was the most surreal experience. I mean, I literally walked into these art rooms when they actually had an arts and corrections program and funding for it. And these guys knew who I was, and it was the most respected I've ever felt. I don't know how to really describe it other than that. Like, I got so many questions of, oh, you know, don't they just, you know, yell out, you know, cat calls at you or whatever. And it wasn't like that at all. It was like I was their little sister, and they, you know, were holding me in a place of reverence and love, you know. And they were artists of their own right. So I got an opportunity to, you know, I thought, what is this? You know, like, I'm going to sit down and play weird, you know, whatever, folk songs, and what the heck am I doing? And they were so into it, and through that, like, engagement, I was able to pull them out, and they performed for me, and it was an instant, like, soul connection. So it was just really weird, because I never expected. I actually had a lot of family in and out of prisons as a child, so I had a kind of a jaded view of it. So it totally opened my eyes, and gave me this whole new trip, you know? And I had actually talked to my band about it years before and said, you know, I want to join the USO or like the Peace Corps or something and play music and go
around the world.
Yeah. And, you know, and play music for people that need it, you know? And I had said, let's go to prisons. And they were like, you're crazy. You know, like, what are you talking about? You know? And then I started doing it, you know, another where the universe responds to the request, I guess. And, so that Thanksgiving, Michael Franti played the first nationally televised concert since Johnny Cash. And that was at actually the old Folsom. So
right.
We were at New Folsom. So Michael Franti and myself and Kimberly Bass and Diane Patterson played this amazing show. And I mean, the guys were jumping up and down and dancing.
Wow.
And I mean, it was just like the most heart opening experience. And like the walls just went away, and the room completely changed, and these men, so-called prisoners or whatever, were just men, and they were just there seeing a show, you know, and it was so cool.
Have you been back a number of times?
Oh, yeah.
Is it something that you just do every year?
Yeah.
Or?
I've been going in for, I guess, almost 7 years now. And so I go in kind of at random times, but most recently, I think the last 3 or 4 years, I can't remember, it was 3 or 4 now, I finally got my friends to come with me. You know, like, I'd been telling my friends for so long, like, how inspired I was.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, locals, go in, you know, down there. But you know, of course, is a big feat. So anyway, we ended up, I ended up gathering like 9 people together, and we went down, and of course, you know, nobody knew what to expect. I didn't know what to expect with a group that
different,
large.
Different situation.
Yeah, yeah, and it has been so incredible. And so basically, like, the way we got our name was, like, they split us up one day, and it was me and myself, myself and Michelle McAfee and my friend Sean Zook, who's another singer-songwriter, and they paired the girls off, our great, you know, mentor Jim Carlson paired us off and took us to the maximum security administrative segregation unit. So this is where the men are in cages the size of a phone booth, and they're literally shackled all day. They're never free. They have 1 hour of yard time, but they're still in a cage when they're in the yard.
Wow.
So they've done something to be there. It's not like we're, you know, dealing with, like, you know, candy stripers here or whatever.
Yeah.
We have Boy Scouts. So we were incredibly intimidated. You know, it was like my friend Sean plays a didgeridoo and does sound healing and plays a flute, you know, and then Michelle's, you know, kind of rocker on her guitar. And, you know, we're just like, what the heck are we going to do here? And we had to wear flak jackets, you know, the stab jackets. And
gosh,
when you walk in the room, there's a line, and the cages actually line the room. It's pretty small, and there's, like, I think 9 cages, and they kind of bring them all in and, you know, lock them up, and then we're allowed to come in. And we just had no idea what the heck we were doing.
Wow.
And
that's so bizarre.
Yeah. And there's plastic, so they can't spit on you. Mm. And you know, you can only get so close, so they can't reach out and, you know, mm-hmm. get you. And at first they were, like, completely not engaged. And, you know, there was a couple that actually were, like, reading papers and stuff, you know, in the cage. And they, you know, were, like,
ignoring you.
Purposely ignoring
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just went on about our business and started playing. And one of the guys kind of slowly stood up and, you know, started kind of leaning towards the cage a little bit. And then, you know, a couple of them got up, and one of them would, you know, look up from his paper. And eventually we engaged in this amazing conversation with them, you know, about how they feel about their situation and how it feels for us to be in there. And yeah. And so one of the guys, Gatlin, spoke, you know, this amazing spoken word piece. And, you know, he said, well, what's your name? And we were like, well, we don't have a name. He said, no, you're One Soul. And
there came the
so
name,
that's
One
our
Soul.
Name and
yeah,
you know and
yeah,
yeah, we,
that's great.
Yeah, it's just, it's been a totally mind-blowing
yeah.
experience. Yeah,
well, we just have about a minute and a half, and I want to remind people that they can see you at Taproot.
Yeah,
they'll probably hear you again later on the radio.
Yeah.
You're going to New York City to play in the final round, I
yes.
think, of the Mountain Stage New Song Contest. And
there we go.
Thank you so much for taking
thank
the
you,
time
Kathleen.
To come in and talk with us. It was really great. I don't think people called because they wanted to listen to you. So Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Spack is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks again, Melissa Mitchell, for coming in. And good luck in New York City. We'll be thinking about you. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.